Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Spawn Daily episode, continuing the Spawn reading order put together by Blake Whitlow, where we go in and we read not only regular issues of the Spawn series, but also some of the ancillary series, mini series, tie-ins, one-shots, all that sort of thing. So as always, when we cover a regular issue of the main Spawn series, it'll be one issue per episode. When we cover some of the ancillary stuff, we may do two, three, four, maybe even a whole arc of like six issues in one episode. That being said, although today we're covering an issue of Curse of the Spawn, which is a series that came out, I think, in the early 2000s. Even though it's Curse of the Spawn, we are just going to do one issue. And the reason for that is these are kind of, they're very much standalone issues. I took a look, the characters that show up over these next three issues are not characters that ever show up in Spawn again. So for that reason, I decided, well, even though it's only, it's an issue of an ancillary series, we're just going to do one issue per, because it wouldn't really make sense to lump these all together. Although the first two stories over the next 2 days, next two issues, I guess you'd say, they're sort of similar in a lot of ways. And they're all written by Alan McElroy, who wrote the entirety of the Curse of the Spawn series. And he's got a background in television and movie screenwriting, where he's done a lot of horror. Like he wrote Halloween 4, one of those Michael Myers movies and what have you. So you can kind of see the horror roots definitely leaning in. And the work that he did on Curse of the Spawn is the only comic work that he's ever done, which I'm a little surprised, because although maybe you have to be a fan of horror to really enjoy what he does here, I think that he does show a flair for being able to pace the comics out well, and they're enjoyable stories. I think he could be an entertaining comic writer, but you know, maybe he did it because Todd offered him a bunch of money and he didn't really care to do it again. I'm not really sure why this is the only work he's done. Some of the Curse of the Spawn stuff is really kind of wild and out there. You know, we've talked about some of it before, covered it previously in the reading order, and talked about how some of it, Spawn was the idea of Spawn, the concept of Spawn, is almost an afterthought in a lot of ways. So again, that might have a lot to do with what Alan's background is. So anyway, quick reminder what we're doing, just getting caught up on Spawn basically. So the reading order that I mentioned before, Blake Whitlow, it's in the show notes. You can go click there. You can see what order we're going to be reading stuff in. Typically when it comes to the Spawn series, you know, we're going from issue one to issue whatever, up to, you know, 360 or whatever, but we're mixing in these other series along the way. And when it comes to things, especially like Curse of the Spawn, they don't always fit in where you think they might, certainly not in the order that things were published. So again, go check out the reading order from Blake Whitlow. And I haven't heard from anybody. I've been saying towards the end of these most recent episodes, if you guys want me to cover the new stuff that started to come out, like Rat City, Sam and Twitch, that sort of stuff, let me know in the comments below. I haven't heard from anybody yet. Or if you're just going to read it now, and when I get to it in the reading order sometime next year, we'll cover it then. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. There's a lot of Spawn series coming out later this year. You know, some that have already come out, and more that are coming out. Spawn Monolith, the Sam and Twitch Case Files is already out. Rat City is already out. Gunslinger Spawn is going to have another series coming out that's written by Jimmy Palmiotti with art by Patrick Reynolds, which is amazing. So there's part of me that wants to just go ahead and dive into some of that stuff now, but I don't know if I want to make a video. I don't know if I want to cover it, review it now or not. So kind of looking for some feedback from y'all. So anyway, let's go ahead and dive into the issue for this episode. As I mentioned, it is Curse of the Spawn number 22. Got the Freak there on the cover, who is a character we've seen before. We'll talk about him a little bit in a minute. As I said, written by Alan McElroy. I think all the issues of Curse of the Spawn are drawn by Dwayne Turner. Exceptional, detailed penciler. Definitely fits in with kind of the style of McFarlane or Capullo, probably the two most well-known Spawn artists. We've got inks by Chance Wolfe and Jason Gorder in this particular issue, with a special thanks to Jonathan Glapion, copy editor and letterer, as is frequently the case with these Spawn issues, is Tom Orzechowski. And it's dedicated to Gillian Ash, who I'm not familiar. I looked the name up. I didn't really find anything, so I'm not really sure. But this issue is called The Deadland, and it starts off and we see a picture of what looks to be maybe the Brooklyn Bridge, some sort of bridge in New York. But there's a guy there, looks like he's ready to jump off the bridge. We have a police officer below who's yelling, Ryan, can you hear me? It's okay. Come down. We can talk about this. And on the next page, we see this young kid wearing a KISS t-shirt, and he's not narrating it. It's sort of being narrated in the third person. Maybe it's actually the freak who's narrating. This kid basically is suicidal because he's kind of an outcast. He's bullied at school. He's like, who needs me? Who cares? My mom doesn't care. And there's actually a picture of his mom there lighting up a cigarette next to the cop, saying whatever. It's like she doesn't even care if he jumps off or not. Apparently, he's got a crush on this girl. It says his girlfriend. It's his girlfriend, Suzette. But apparently, she messed around with some guy named Barry. He rips up her photo, and he's like, hell can't be worse than this. And yeah, he jumps off the bridge. But before he can hit the water, there's a flash of lightning, and rather than landing in the water, he lands in an alley in a like a pile of garbage. There's a bunch of worms all around, and he's trying to understand. He's confused, what happened. Meanwhile, there's some other guy in the shadows of the alley who looks to be eating human flesh of some sort. And this guy sees Ryan and head towards him, and Ryan's freaked out, saying, "What are you doing? Get off me!" As the guy bites his arm. So right away you're thinking zombies, right? And with maybe some assertiveness or strength that Ryan never knew he had before, he reaches out, he grabs a piece of wood and smacks the guy across the face. This zombie-like guy goes wandering off, and Ryan's trying to figure out what the heck's going on. His arm hurts. He's in a place that he doesn't recognize. When our old friend the freak shows up and says, "What fun, what a treat, some poor unwanted sap like you." And that guy wanted fresh meat and he could smell you. And Ryan's like, "Who are you? Stay away from me." And the freak kind of lets him know the lay of the land. He's like, Are you scared? You should be. You're on the flip side," is what the freak calls it. "But you've been chosen, so get ready." And Ryan doesn't want to hear it. He's like, Get out of here, leave me alone." And he goes running off, going back home, trying to look for a place that's familiar. But as he's walking along the streets, things don't look familiar. There's bones piled everywhere. Doesn't understand what's going on. He uses his key. He opens the door to his apartment, and there's his mother sitting in a chair, and Pete and Jasmine, which I'm gonna assume are his siblings, it never really says, are literally there eating his mother. And he like freaks out. He's like, "What the heck is going on? I don't understand." He goes, running out. He's like, "They couldn't be eating her. Why are they eating her? What?" He just, he's a teenager. He knows. He's seen, Night of the Living Dead or whatever. He's seen plenty of zombie movies. So he has an idea what's going on, but how, right? He's trying to figure this out. So as he's running away from his house, he comes across Suzette, his girlfriend, and there's a couple of guys from his school, the aforementioned Barry and some other guy named Steve, and they look like they've been zombified as well, and they're holding Suzette prisoner. And again, with an assertiveness that he wasn't really aware of previously, he decides to rescue her. He goes running after these guys with strength that he didn't know that he had, and he kind of gets the better of them. He tosses them aside, grabs Suzette. Says, come on, let's get out of here." And Suzette explains to him what's going on. She's saying, "Oh, if you hadn't been there, but I don't understand how you can be here. You died in a car crash 6 months ago." And obviously, this is news to Ryan. He's thinking, "I've loved her since the second grade. Finally had the guts to ask her out to a movie and pizza." And it turns out that she's like a techno nerd that's wrapped in a supermodel body, and we talked for hours, and I thought things were looking up, but then Barry dot dot dot. So we still don't know what happened with her and Barry or whatever. But he's like, yeah, what, what's going on? He wants Suzette to maybe fill him in. It's just, we don't know. Well, I guess it makes sense if Barry died, this world's Barry died in a car crash 6 months ago. And she said, yeah, everything's about survival now. We're the living are being hunted. We've got to run away from these zombies. And Orion's like, oh, zombies. Like, I can't believe you actually use the word zombies. And she said, yeah, I know it's weird. I saw my mom and dad taken away by some of them, and the zombie spawn rules now. And he's like, zombie spawn. Like, what the heck is, zombie spawn? And she says, well, he rules everything now. His base of operations is at the top of the Statue of Liberty. The new dead, the people who have died since Spawn came, are called Z1s. And they bring zombie spawn the tribute. They capture the living, and they take them to the zombie spawn to feed. And that's kind of the way that he survives and how he's a worshiper. And we're just meat to them. And so we hide out all day running from the Z2s, the hunting dead, they're called. And the people they catch, they throw them in Yankee Stadium, which is basically like this human meat farm these days. And they're watched over by zombie shepherds, which they are called Z3s. And that's where Suzette's parents are. So again, Barry's trying to make sense of all this. And Suzette shows them where they kind of hide out in the sewers. She's like, yeah, most of us live underground now, where we can hide. We only come up to try to find food. But the Z2s are never far behind. The Z2s being the dead, the people that were dead before Zombie Spawn showed up. Because she says that an asteroid hit the Earth, and when it cracked open, trillions of worms were inside, and at the center was a zombie spawn. So, not so different from things that we've seen in Spawn recently, with all the evil, the rats, the bats, the bugs, the worms, and that ties in with the Freak as well, because we saw the Freak being consumed. We saw him most recently. Before this, we saw him being consumed by all those types of creatures, which makes it a little unclear how he could even be here. But he is. So, we can kind of let that slide. But yeah, basically these worms that came out of the asteroid when it crashed, slithered down underground and woke up the dead, right? So those are the Z2s, people that were dead before Zombie Spawn landed. And they're the ones that are out there hunting as well. So they look to find humans to eat. Basically, they're kind of mindless, as opposed to the Z1s that are out there looking to capture humans alive and take them to the zombie spawn, King Zombie Spawn, I guess you'd call him, as like a living tribute for him to eat. And then not much context on the Z3s other than zombie shepherds. It's the only time they're mentioned. So, as Ryan is hearing about this and they're talking, and he actually confesses his love for Suzette. He's like, this is so hard to believe. And Suzette says, I've actually been sort of in love with you since the second grade. Now, this is music to this Ryan's ears, right? And she even mentions that she was going to tell him, but then he died in that car crash like a week later, after she had decided to tell him before she had the chance. And he says, yeah, I've always loved you too. I always will. They kiss. But then at that moment, he's filled with pain. He says his skin feels like it's on fire. And this is all due to the bite that he got earlier from that zombie that attacked him. And she's seen this before. Suzette's seen this before. It's been a matter of time since her Ryan passed away and all this stuff happened. So she runs away in terror, saying, no, not you. And Ryan's distraught, saying, no, don't go, don't go. Before he can chase after her, the Freak shows up again, and he says, fate's a bitch, right? And he kind of explains what's going on. He's like, hey, cheer up, relax. The fun's just getting started. The zombie spawn, he wants to control the world, and you have a chance to balance that out. You're the answer. You're the yin to his yang. You're good dead, he's evil dead, and you can be a hero. And he says, look, these can be your tools of the trade. As they're walking along the street, the Freak punches out a like the plate glass window, the front window of a hardware store, grabs a pickaxe and a shovel and gives it to Ryan saying, "Hey, these are your tools. Little Miss Suzette's going to be captured by Z1s. She's going to be taken up to be sacrificed to the zombie spawn, and you'll be able to save her. You'll be the hero of the story." And as the freak says that, the transformation that Ryan's undergoing is completed. And he looks, in a way, he looks badass, but in a way, very zombie-like. Obviously, Suzette's not going to like the way he looks, right? Like, all his hair is gone. His flesh is now rotting. It's quite the transformation. And the freak says, "I dub thee Hatchet," right? His name is Ryan Hatchet with two T's, but he's naming this version of Ryan as Hatchet, Executioner of the Dead. And he thinks he looks cool or whatever. And he's got the shovel, and he's got the pickaxe, and he's got like the serrated blade. And all of a sudden, he's on a motorcycle and he's driving to the Statue of Liberty. And he's thinking that this is a chance for him to be the savior, the kid that was always picked last on the team for whatever particular sport they were playing at school. He's now been picked to be the savior of this world. And the freak told him that if he can take out zombie spawn in this world, everything goes back to normal. He gets his life back. He gets to go back to his own Earth, where I guess he thinks that that Suzette is probably in love with him, and he can possibly be with her. So he's very motivated, I'll say, to go and rescue the Suzette of this world. So he pretty easily dispatches the all of the guard zombies, if you will, that are sort of guarding the entrance to the Statue of Liberty. Probably the first what we call it, first level of defense for this zombie spawn. He's got the shovel in one hand, the pickaxe in the other, and he quotes Rowdy Roddy Piper from that classic They Live movie, which is, favorite. He says, "I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, but I'm all out of bubble gum." So he fights his way to the top of the Statue of Liberty, and there he sees in the throne room the king zombie spawn, and he says, "Hey, get your paws off my girlfriend." And zombie spawn replies, "Your girlfriend? She might be more your girlfriend, but she's my dinner." And so Ryan yells, "Hey, get away from her!" And there's a little bit of a fight back and forth, and Ryan does manage to win the day. He doesn't defeat zombie spawned, or doesn't kill him, I should say, but he does hurl his hatchet, I guess. It makes sense, being that he's dubbed himself Hatchet now, so it makes sense that he's able to use his hatchet to win. And it lands, it hits Spawn in the face, splits his face open. We've seen that before. Don't worry, dude, you can solve the problem by stitching it up with a shoelace. We know that works. But while zombie Spawn is kind of staggered, while he's taken out temporarily, probably, it allows Ryan to grab Suzette, and they leap from the Statue of Liberty, and he takes her ashore, and he's trying to reconcile with her. He calls out her name, and she's like, "Get away from me!" I mean, to him, or to her, he's just a monster now. She's not going to want anything to do with him. And so the freak shows up and says, "Well, let her go. She's flesh and blood, and sooner or later, she's going to start to look like a turkey with all the sides to you." Because technically, Ryan is a zombie now. He's going to have that craving for human flesh, and he even says, "Yeah, I already feel the hunger for tender flesh. Is that gross or what?" And the freak's like, "What do you expect, dude? You're a zombie." And the zombie spawn knows you're out here. He knows you're a threat. He's going to be looking for you. He's going to be gunning for you. So you better, train up. You better learn some skills. And Ryan's like, "Well, how?" Clearly, the freak lied before. Well, maybe it's not clear to Ryan. Seems clear to me. But technically, he hasn't defeated him. Like, he hasn't vanquished him. So maybe Ryan's still holding out hope that there's more to come with this. So when Ryan asks, how am I going to prepare for zombie spawn to come back at me? He says, by killing zombies. How else do you think? And so as the story ends here, as the issue ends, Ryan's thinking, so here I am from living loser to dead hero. What a day. But that's life, right? Hatchet has come. And it does say to be continued, but it never is continued. That's the end of the story. So maybe they had planned for there to be more, but this is the final issue of the Curse of the Spawn. As I said, I did take a look and try to find, like, on various Spawn wikis and what have you. I did look and see if Hatchet or Ryan Hatchet ever shows up again, and he doesn't. This is the end. So not sure what the last box says to be continued, other than hey, maybe there were some more plans for it, and then nobody ever picked up the pieces. Maybe Alan McElroy wasn't able to continue writing the series. Not sure. It's a little two-dimensional. It's a little cliche, borrowing from a lot of different tropes. Obviously, the outsider, the bullied kid, the kid that was, seen as a nerd or what have you, sort of becoming the hero, and the beautiful girl who probably in, reality would never give somebody like that the time of day, is, secretly been in love with them and all that. A lot of zombie tropes and undead tropes and that sort of thing as well. But like I said, it is entertaining. Part of what really carries this story is the amazing detailed work in pencils by Duane Turner. There are times it is a little wonky. Like Ryan goes from looking basically human with that bite on him on one page to completely different with the, ripped up shirt or whatever, Kiss shirt on the next page. That seems a little, I don't know, I guess we missed the transformation or what have you, but that was a little hokey, what have you. But regardless, it is entertaining. I would want to read more of this, because the thing is, it is a relatively quick read, and it does lean into a lot of those tropes. But it would have been great to learn a little bit more about Zombie Spawn. It would have been great to flesh Ryan out as a character a little bit more than just have him be this kind of angry, nerdy kid who becomes a hero. But an undead hero, right? He says it at the end, live from living loser to dead hero. But there's something you could explore there if you wanted to do it in a, more interesting fashion and not just lean into those two-dimensional tropes. So yeah, I'd be curious if Todd even remembers this character. If it'd be curious to talk to Alan McElroy and see if he had more plans for this story. So I don't know, maybe I'll be able to make that happen at some point. And why is it the freak? Why is it the freak that shows up here? Maybe, did Alan McElroy have more plans for the freak? Because again, at this point, as far as we know in the reading order, the freak had been destroyed, had been eaten by, those worms and bugs and rats and bats and what have you, at the end of, I think it was issue 70. Of the regular series. So having him show up here, I mean, I get it, it's parallel reality, so maybe it's a parallel freak. Does a freak have the ability to hop between realities? When he was killed in our reality, I say our reality, but the main Spawn reality, he was transported to this world. It is fascinating, the whole idea of a Spawn coming from outer space on an asteroid and cracking open with worms, whatever. Again, there's just a lot of ideas that you still could flesh out and still could explore. But I would almost want it to be like its own mini series, right? Like Curse of the Spawn was this series that ran for these issues. This is issue 22. It said this was to be continued, but it ends on issue 26, which we'll be talking about in a couple of episodes from now. So never had a chance to get back to it. So again, as this kind of anthology series telling different stories, it's cool, but I think you need a little more space to really focus on Ryan Hatchet, or Hatchet to really say, hey, we're going to spend six issues really exploring this guy, whatever. Then you would have time to see how things really flesh out for him. He's got to still have doubts. If he was depressed to the point, or miserable enough to the point of his life that he was ready to commit suicide, you got to wonder, even though he's now undead, I guess we'll say, or dead, a dead hero. Those doubts are going to have to come creeping back in at some point, you would think, right? So I say all that to say, yeah, there's the possibility of making this guy a more interesting character. But I mean, you got to have enough action. You got to have enough other stuff going on in the story. It can't just be a a woe is me. Hey, let's explore Hatchet's psyche. You've got to have enough other action and cool visuals and what have you. And I want that too. You got to have enough of that, especially with Dwayne Turner drawing it. You got to make space for that. But again, to know that you have like 4, 5, 6 issues, that you have enough space to tell the action part of the story and flesh out the characters even more. Could Suzette come to see him as she saw him when he was still alive and be able to be, I mean, still the same person, right? You would think in a lot of ways. But yeah, never came to pass. Could it come to pass in the future? Who knows? One of the things I love about Todd is he's always willing, if somebody comes along with the right story, to go back and mine some of these characters from earlier in Spawn history to tell some fantastic stories. So wouldn't be surprised if at some point we see Hatchet show back up. Just gotta, again, have the right person pitching the idea to Todd and he'd be all for it. Now that, especially now that his focus is on kind of organically growing the Spawn universe. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Again, appreciate you joining me as always. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when we'll be talking about Curse of the Spawn, number, I think it's number 25. Yeah, I think it's number 25. Earlier, I said the final issue was 26. I think the final issue is 29. I think the series lasted 29 issues. But again, not long enough to ever get back to Hatchet. So anyway, hope you're enjoying it. Don't forget to subscribe to the Comic Source Podcast, our audio only feed on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast, your favorite podcasting platform, app, whatever it might be, because there are literally over 2,000 episodes of past content that you can go back and listen to, interviews, convention coverage, all kinds of fantastic stuff. That being said, going forward, since the beginning of this year, I'm trying to release all the content both as a video on YouTube in addition to the audio only content. So it'll be both places. So if you prefer watch us on YouTube, that's fine. You'll be able to access it there, except for the DC spotlights that we do every Tuesday, because those go up on the Comic Boom YouTube site with the partner that I have in Rocky that collaborates with me for the DC spotlights. So all that being said, all the other content that is on the YouTube Comic Source channel is obviously there for you to check out. But what would really help me out is if you guys could subscribe. If you're watching this video, please just click that subscribe button. I'm really trying to get to 500 subscribers so I can get a little bit of money trickling in to help offset the costs of producing all this stuff and hosting my website and domain and content and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, that's gonna do it for this episode, everybody. Really appreciate the support. Appreciate people leaving comments and reaching out on social media and what have you to share the love of Spawn and share the love of comics. So that's gonna do it for this episode. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.